Hi, I'm Sarah. I'm a mom of three kids, ages 2, 5, and 7, and I live in Southern California.
And I'm Megan. I am the mom of 5 kids, ages 6 through 17, and I live in Michigan. This is the Mom Hour, part of the Life Listened Network. Hey everyone, and welcome to episode 54 of the Mom Hour. I'm Megan Francis, here as always with Sarah Powers. Hey Sarah.
Hey Megan, happy summer.
Happy summer to you. It is my kids' last week of school, and I could not be more. Oh, I'm so ready. And this is really timely because today we're actually going to be talking about sun safety and summer safety. We've got a great sponsor, Neutrogena, and we're going to be talking with a dermatologist about sun safety in a little bit. But first, I wanted us to do our semi-regular, irregular, now mostly regular segment.
Yes, which is what's going on in your house this week. We should actually move that outdoors for summer. What's going on?
Absolutely.
In
out
your life.
Of your house.
Let's get outside.
Yeah.
So this week for me is also our last week of school. For my elementary schooler, my kindergartner has another week, but that doesn't count. The real elementary schooler is, we get out on Thursday. And I posted to Instagram last week on my personal account, which is Powers of Mine. If you guys want to check it out, I'll link to it. But a picture of this sheet that came home for wasn't even just the last week. It was really the last 2 weeks, because we had a 4-day week for Memorial Day, and then this is a 4-day week. So 8 school days of themed activity days going on in second grade, like bring in your Legos or building materials day, bring in a book to read day with your favorite blanket. Yes. And a pillow. And it's excruciating detail. You saw it.
Yours is over the top.
I got a ton of comments on it. And, you know, I had a little guilt after, because in the past I have been a little critical of people who call out their school, especially people who post homework assignments or poorly written teacher letters that have typos. I always feel for the teachers a little bit, because I think, you know, I don't want my work stuff posted to make fun of. So I did have a little guilt, but it was just too ridiculous
much.
Not to share. and somebody asked, is it optional? And that was what kind of irked me about this, is if the beginning had said, you know, this is opt-in, make it your child's responsibility, whatever they want to participate in, that's fine. But no, it was clearly instructed to have everything labeled in Ziploc bags so you don't lose the pieces to your board game on board game day.
Oh,
it was very specific, and I just have no headspace for it at this time of year.
No, you know, it's funny. We've talked a little bit about those end of year expectations, and like why with all the special days. I have to say, after reading your letter, I cannot complain, because our school is much more laid back about it. I mean, there are suggested things that you can do, but I've never felt bad for not doing
right.
them. And at this time of year, let's be honest, like our snack bin is empty.
Right.
I think I'm out of bags for lunches. I mean, it's just gotten to be like, we're scraping the bottom of the barrel on all fronts here. So I could not deal at all. Kudos to you.
Yes. So now I think we have like 3 more mornings after this of it's like movie day number 2 and board game 2 of 2. I don't know. It's real specific. I'll post that picture in the show notes.
Well, and then like the very next day, this article popped up from McSweeney's,
which is
hysterical. And it was like, please, you know, it's very it's all satire. And it said, please give me one more thing to do on my child's last week of school or something like that. It's hilarious. We'll link to that in the show notes, because it was
so funny.
Yeah.
So what's going on for you this week?
Well, my son graduated yesterday.
Ah!
I know. Jacob graduated high school. It was very emotional. I think the minute I saw the kids line up across the – we have ours out in the football field.
And
the minute I saw the kids line up, it was like the waterworks started. And one of Jacob's best friends is his class president and gave the intro speech, and that got me all choked up.
Yeah.
And, you know, the only saving grace is it's just so long that by the end you're kind of just – ready to go. You're just ready to leave.
Did they do the pomp and circumstance music?
That's the music that always
is a trigger.
And the kids came down in groups of 5 with their arms linked, and that it's like during that song. Yeah, I was a mess. But, you know, and then he got on a bus and went to an all-night party in Chicago with his classmates, like right after. They had a really cool after-school party on Navy Pier, or after, after graduation party on Navy Pier. And so I didn't even really get to see him after. Like, we took a quick picture and then he was gone.
I know,
let's post
that picture, because I rarely see pictures of all 7 of you.
I know, because we never get any.
And 2 parents in one place.
I know.
So
yeah, we'll post
cute.
That picture. And it just felt like kind of a metaphor for like the rest of his adult life, young adult life, was me waiting around. Oh my gosh, I'm tearing up again. Me waiting around to get a picture with him and him taking off. It was kind of just like, oh. So I was a little spent. I have to say, John was like, kind of like tippy toeing around me last night. He's like, because I, the minute I got home, I put my pajamas on and just laid in bed. He's like, are you okay? It's like, I don't know. I ask me later, maybe.
Yeah.
So, oh, well, and I had just gone to the Dixie Chicks concert the night before. Oh, yeah. And with my two best friends from high school. And so much of that music reminds me of when my kids were little, because that was kind of like the soundtrack of my life when I had young babies and toddlers. So it was kind of like flip-flopping from like one extreme to the other.
And you were with your own high school friends. So yes, there were high school memories and then yes, motherhood memories.
Yeah, all in like a 48-hour period. It was pretty heady.
So really intense. Well, we will definitely post a couple of those pictures. And yes, I don't know if you saw, but I also shared on our Facebook page the episode we did when Jacob turned 18. Because even yeah, I was feeling kind of nostalgic for your child that I've never met graduating yeah, high school. Yeah. And I know we got a lot of people who caught that and listened to it. It was like 6 months ago, but about the adults that we hope our kids will become someday. So that was kind yeah, of a poignant episode. And I reshared it yesterday. So if you're a newer listener, you might have seen that on our Facebook page. And it's a great, it's a great listen if you have little kids who you think will never be 18 and going off on an all-night grad night. But spoiler alert, they
yeah,
will.
They will. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. So should we get to it?
Yeah.
All right. So as we mentioned before, today we're welcoming Neutrogena as our sponsor for this episode. And both Sarah and I were so excited. I have to say, it was really funny to me after we started talking with them. I looked at my my dresser, my bureau, whatever you want to call it. And it's just like littered with Neutrogena in a very yeah, artful way. Yeah. I have so much Neutrogena product that I use regularly. I didn't even really think about it. And then I went through and thought, oh my gosh, couldn't it be a better fit? So,
no, and I agree. And I'm the same way and have been since high school, literally, yeah, you know, that's yeah, been my go-to for makeup yeah, and yeah, skincare.
And everything, especially for sunscreens. I have to say yes, like when I looked in our beach bag too, it was just chock full of Neutrogena sunscreen. So today we're really excited about the work we've been doing with Neutrogena to educate parents about sun safety, which is what we're going to talk about in this first initial segment. Neutrogena hooked us up with Dr. Josh Zeichner, who's a dermatologist, and his wife and mom blogger, Corey. They're parents of two young kids, and today we get their perspectives on how they keep their kids sun safe during the summer and what mom needs to know about skin cancer risks and sunscreen use, which is yeah, kind of like a confusing topic.
It's really confusing. And yeah, I'm so glad they took some questions from our listeners because yes, thank you to everybody who commented with your own questions. They were generous enough to answer some of those specifically because, yeah, there is a lot of conflicting information and confusing yes, information out there.
Yeah, absolutely. And so then after the interview, we're going to be continuing the discussion and talking about just kind of general summer safety for kids. I mean, sun care, skin care definitely plays in there, but there's other things like hydration and injury and water safety and all that stuff that we're all thinking about this time of year.
Yeah, for sure. Totally agree. And you and I are pretty laid back, and I think we put it out there that we're pretty free range and all that, but that doesn't mean we're not our goal
concerned,
is to keep our kids safe. Yes. And like, yeah, water safety is a big one. Yes. So we're going to get yeah, to all of that. And we're not going to scare you guys more. We're actually probably going to just try and give some common sense tips for how we keep our kids safe and also set an example. A lot of this is about kind of letting our kids see us take care of our health and safety during the summer too. And yeah, I love that that's kind of Neutrogena's slant on this. Their campaign is called Mimic Mommy. So, gosh, I learned so much from the Zeichners, and really did make me think about letting my kids see me take care of my own sunscreen use, you know, because
yeah, we well, and doesn't it feel like that's what this, it feels like that's what so much of our advice comes back to anyway, is like yeah, set the example, do, you know, do the healthy thing, do the safe thing, and then your kids yeah, will follow. And so really a lot of that came out of our discussion that we're going to get into. And there's a giveaway involved.
We love giveaways.
We love giveaways. So just wait, listen to the end of the show because we're going to be giving away a Mimic Mommy sunscreen package with four great Neutrogena products for moms and kids. So if you just wait till the end, we'll let you know how to win one.
Yes. Awesome. All right. Well, let's get to it, shall we?
Let's do it. We are really excited to welcome our special guest to the show. Hi, Corey and Dr. Zeichner. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, we're really excited about this topic because I think there's so many misconceptions and misunderstandings. And I have to say as well, I mean, I grew up in the time when sunscreen was used pretty, I grew up in the 70s and 80s, and sunscreen was used, I don't know, in a pretty loose and lax way. And I remember getting lots of burns. And so now as a mom, it's like I'm trying to remember and establish those habits, but sometimes just kind of what I was brought up with was so different that it's kind of hard now to really wrap my brain around using sunscreen really regularly as part of our everyday, several times a day routine. So I guess my first question, and Dr. Zeichner, you can take this first, and then Corey, I really want to hear your take as well, is as a parent, how do you stress the importance of sun protection to your kids? And then maybe also, like, how do you kind of get that in your own mindset?
Yeah, you know, well, I see skin cancer every day in the office, and skin cancer is an epidemic in this country. But the good news is that it's largely preventable. 90% of skin cancers develop because of ultraviolet light exposure, you know, from sunburns, from the sun. And with proper use of sunscreen and sun protective behavior, a lot of these can be prevented. My kids know what I do for a living. They know that I'm a skin doctor. You know, they're so young, they don't understand the idea of skin cancer, but I still try to bring home what I do at work to them and let them know that sunscreen is part of what daddy talks to his patients about. And it's something that we should be doing at home also.
Corey, what about you?
I agree with you. I grew up at a time where my parents didn't train me to use sunscreen every day. And I think it's really important that we set the standard for our kids, that they know that every day they need to put sunscreen on and be sun smart. We look at sunscreen in our household like brushing our teeth every day. It needs to be part of our daily routine. And not only using sunscreen, but we have to make sure that we're wearing sunglasses, wearing sun protective clothing, hats, to make sure that it just becomes part of like our daily normal.
I think unlike, mine and Corey's generation, where we did get sun exposure, for the first time, we really may have a generation of kids who are not going to get the sun exposure and the sunburns, that their parents had. And while it's way into the future before you'll start seeing the effects of that, hopefully we will see skin cancer rates go down because of the sun protective behaviors that we're instilling in our kids, even from a young age.
It reminds me of seatbelts. Growing up thinking of like all the kids who didn't wear seatbelts or would fight their parents. And now I can't even imagine my kids fighting me on a seatbelt. It just wouldn't ever happen. Right. It's such a part of their lives. Yeah. So it really just takes one generation to really make a big change, I think.
And I think if you're starting young, like you said, sometimes they now know that sunscreen's part of their just everyday routine. And if I walk out and I don't, put sunscreen on, they're reminding me, because I didn't grow up like that, but they are. So it's becoming just the norm for them.
So they're policing each other and maybe even spreading it to their friends and that kind of thing. So it can make a big difference.
So you guys are parents, and I am curious how this works functionally in your home. So can you really dig down and give us a little insight into your sunscreen routine with your kids, like what time of day, how it, you mentioned having it a part of the daily routine, but how that really works functionally to make sure it doesn't get missed and to get it done? Because it's not easy. Your kids are at that young age where there's a lot going on.
Yeah. So just because my husband's a dermatologist doesn't make it any easier to get the sunscreen on my kids. I usually have a challenge. I have to hold them down sometime, but I really try and make it into a game. I let them choose what type of sunscreen. There's so many different formulations. There are sticks, sprays, lotions. And I let them choose that day what they are in the mood for to make it a little easier. So lately my kids are into the stick sunscreens. So we want to make sure that we do four passes. So we count usually and 1, 2, 3, 4, like say on the cheek. And then we move to the next body part, the nose, 1, 2, 3, 4, to make sure that you're getting enough of the stick sunscreen on the face. And then, I let them count with me so that they know that they're ready to move on and it's more fun for them.
Oh, that's great.
And just to jump in, the four mm-hmm. passes is really based on, FDA testing. You need to make sure that you have an adequate amount of sunscreen deposited on the skin to get the protection labeled on the bottle. So that four passes back and forth ensures that you're depositing enough sunscreen on the skin. You know, the kid has a stick. So, the kid is learning how to put it on, and then we're the ones who are really doing the heavy hitting.
Yeah, that you're so right in giving them a little bit of power in the process, and a few choices is, great preschooler parenting anyway. So I love applying those ideas to sunscreen.
I'm curious if you could also go into sprays and lotions as far as, how to get, as far as the four swipe rule goes with a stick, what would be the equivalent for a lotion or a spray?
Yeah, so Corey and I joke about this all the time. We see parents you know, at the beach or at the park chasing after their kids. And if they are, you know, running after their child, you know, with a spray can in their hand, a lot of that spray is going into the air and not onto the skin.
Right.
So
right.
The proper way to apply sprays is to hold the spray 1 inch from the skin and then spray for 1 to 2 seconds until the skin glistens. Then you need to rub it in.
Okay, so we've talked about sunscreen application, and, you know, we know that even when you can hold the kids down or they're cooperating on those rare occasions and you can actually get those 4 swipes in or get a good spray, sometimes there are other things you can do to kind of help protect you from the sun, because it's nothing's perfect. So can you talk a little bit about some of those behaviors as well?
Sure. So, you know, this summer, or actually all year round, you need to be sun smart. And sunscreen is really just one part of the equation. Of course, you want to avoid the sun during peak hours between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m., ideally between 10 and 4, but that's not always realistic. You want to wear sun-protective hats, glasses, and clothing, especially long sleeves. They really do provide a physical barrier between the sun and your skin. And of course, you want to seek shade, you know, whenever you can, rather than, you know, sitting out, you know, in the sunny part of the beach, sit under an umbrella, or, you know, the sunny part of the field, sit under a tree.
Yes, this weekend we actually went to the beach, and not only was everyone wearing hats, rash guards, and sunglasses, but we made sure that our umbrella was there. The kids were playing in the sand, and we wanted to make sure that they kept moving and they were in the sun a lot. So we strategically placed the umbrella so that it was shaded in the direction that they were playing in, so that they didn't get any sun while they were playing in the sand.
And we showed them the shadow, and we told them, you can only play within this border. And it worked. It was like a game, and they stayed within the shadow, and that's where they dug their holes in the sand.
So I actually have to ask a follow-up question about that, and that is, how does this practically look? You're at the beach. It's 2 hours have gone by. It's time to reapply. Your kids are running all over the place. They're wet. They have sand on them. I mean, how does this actually – do you do this, like, just standing there in the, you know, in the beach, like at the edge of the water, and you're like spraying your kid, or do you take them to the rest area and towel them off? How does this work for you practically?
I would bring them back to like our rest area, towel them off, make sure they're dry, and then reapply either the lotion or the spray. But you really have to make sure you're applying enough of it. So like we said earlier, you can't just spray into the wind. You have to make sure that it's glistening on the skin and getting enough in there. And then I'll re-rub everything over, and then I'll let them go off and go play. But we take a little break. We make sure to reapply, and then they let them go on with their whatever they're doing.
And I'm sure, like anything else, that if they expect that, it's not such a huge interruption. You've set up the routine in your family, like we talked about earlier. I was curious, actually, if you have a way to remind yourself, or if you've just probably trained yourself, but I'm picturing like a timer or something, you know, because it's for a lot of parents, it's a shift to remember that 2 hour mark.
Yeah, there are a lot of things that you can do, whether you're setting a timer or you're, you know, taking bathroom breaks, or if, you know, you're going to lunch, it doesn't really make a difference. So the sunscreens last a maximum of 2 hours, and you want to apply it even earlier than that if you're swimming or if you're sweating a lot. So there's no reason that you can't apply it more frequently, but you want to make sure that there is some sort of reminder, whether it's, right, you know, an alarm or your other family member looking at the clock, you know, whatever you want to do, you need to remember to reapply the sunscreen.
So I'd like to move on now to some questions that have more to do, I guess, with the nitty gritties on sunscreens, because I think this is one of those topics no one really seems to know what they're doing. Sarah, I don't know about you, but I feel like, you know, other moms are always asking me, so like, when are we supposed to reapply, and what kind of SPF are we supposed to use? And I feel like I've read so many articles and I still don't really know. So I guess my first question, and I'll direct this at you first, Dr. Zeichner, is what are some of the biggest sunscreen misconceptions you see among parents? Let's bust some of those myths a bit.
So I think when it comes to parents, the big concern is, you know, whether sunscreens are safe. And there is no data showing that any sunscreen ingredients are linked to anything harmful, and the benefits of wearing sunscreen far outweigh any risks. There is no link to any sunscreen ingredients to cancer, and there's no proven link to sunscreens to infertility. I think that a lot of these ideas have really been blown up in the media. And we have to remember that in the United States, sunscreens are considered drugs, and they are approved by the FDA. So the sunscreens are safe. They prevent sunburn. They prevent skin cancer. And, you know, I encourage all of my patients to use it on themselves and on their family members.
Corey, what about from a mom's perspective?
I think a lot of my friends think that they put, before they leave the house, they put the sunscreen on themselves and the kids, and then that's it, and they're good for the day. And I think that it's really important to know that you need to reapply every 2 hours, and especially right after you're swimming or doing any sort of like running around the park, if they're, you know, exercise, I guess.
Yeah.
So I'm very curious about SPF. Dr. Zeichner, can you, from a dermatological perspective, give us the lowdown on these numbers? It could be so confusing. I've heard that anything labeled over 30 isn't really accurate, but then you see these crazy high numbers. Can you enlighten us?
So let's start with the basics. SPF stands for sun protection factor, and that's the ability of a sunscreen to protect the skin from harmful ultraviolet rays. And an SPF of 30 means that it will take 30 times the amount of time for the skin to burn compared to 1 minute of unprotected skin. Now, SPF 30 products protect against 97% of UVB rays. Now, 97% is a pretty high number. So you may be thinking, well, anything over 30 doesn't really give you that much. But in the real world, we know that consumers are typically applying less than 50% of the amount of sunscreen that they should be applying, and they're not reapplying every 2 hours the way that they should. So I recommend for my patients and for my family that we use as high an SPF number as possible, because it acts like a safety net. You know,
okay,
when we're not putting it on the way that we should, that SPF value is essentially diluted out. So if you're starting out at a higher number, then you're getting the highest quality protection that you can for the longest period of time.
So then what do parents need to know when they're choosing a sunscreen for their kids?
When you're choosing a sunscreen for yourself and for your family member, you want to stick to a trusted brand that has a long tradition of quality products. I don't recommend skimping on your sunscreen. This is your skin health. And there are two broad categories of sunscreen. There are mineral-based sunscreens or physical blocker sunscreens, and then you have what are called the chemical blocker sunscreens. Mineral blockers contain only zinc oxide and titanium dioxide, while the chemical blockers may contain physical ingredients as well as other ingredients that actually absorb ultraviolet light and prevent it from getting through to the skin. For very young kids, I typically recommend those mineral or physical blocker sunscreens. And then as they get older, it really has to do with personal preference.
And I think it's also important to know that you don't have to use the same type of sunscreen for all parts of the body. Like, it's depending on the mood of what your kid wants. As long as you're using it, then you're being sun smart.
That actually leads me to another question, is it okay to have sunscreen that's sort of just sitting in a bag that you keep in your car or in your yard, or is that does that affect the effectiveness of it?
You know, just like any other personal care product that you're using, you want to make sure that it's maintained at a steady temperature. Okay. You know, if you have a sunscreen sitting inside of your car with the windows up, you know, for an entire hot afternoon, the temperature of the car is going to go up as well as what's inside of the car. And extremes in temperature can affect stability of the sunscreen. So in general, if the sunscreen doesn't look, smell, or feel the way it did when you purchased it, then it likely is not going to be as effective as it should be on your skin.
So Corey, this question is kind of for you. Going back to the idea of a routine, and I love your tips about making it into a game and giving the kids some role in the process. But when you guys are getting ready to leave the house for the day, what does it look like, especially for your own, setting an example for your kids, for your own sunscreen use, and just making sure that this is happening daily and that it's an expected part of the routine for the whole family? Can you just talk a little bit more about that, just as a mom?
Yeah, I think the kids are smart and they see what we all do. So I make sure that the kids see me putting sunscreen on myself. They're with me in the bathroom when I'm getting ready every morning, just like I'm sure they are with you guys. So I really make sure to that the kids see me putting the sunscreen on and helping me rub it in. And then they then we go to them. I always say to Josh all the time that kids need to mimic mommy and lead by example.
Okay, so we're going to move on to some questions, Dr. Zeichner, that came in from our listeners of this podcast. And people were so excited to have the chance to ask these questions to a dermatologist. So I'm going to get started. This question came in from Emily via Instagram. And she asks, how concerned do I need to be about chemicals in sunscreen? I'm curious about the risk of exposure to chemicals versus the effectiveness.
As both a dermatologist and as a father, I am not concerned at all about the use of the chemicals in chemical sunscreens. I use them on myself, and I use them on my kids. All of these sunscreen products are FDA approved. And while there's been some negative publicity and reports in the media of harmful effects, there's no proven association. And the benefit of using sunscreen far outweighs any, perceived risk. These products are really safe. And again, I use them on myself and on my family members.
So here's one that I hear a lot, and that is, how do we balance our need for sun protection with the need for vitamin D, which is, a big issue right now? That question came in from Nicole via Facebook. Dr. Zeichner, what do you think?
I have a lot of patients come in to the office and say to me, I need to go to the beach because I need my vitamin D. And that really is just not the case. While ultraviolet light exposure is a necessary component for your body's ability to make vitamin D, you really only need about 5 or 10 minutes of exposure. And you get that from incidental sunlight exposure. I do not recommend tanning to get vitamin D. And if there's any risk of being vitamin D deficient, you speak to your primary care doctor about that. You can take supplements, make sure that you're drinking milk fortified with vitamin D, and just don't leave it to the sun.
All right. I'm going to move on to our next question. And this came in again via Instagram from Kristen, who asks, is spray sunscreen still a no-go for little kids? What's the best type for active kids?
Spray sunscreens are a great option to cover large body surface areas. Ultimately, the decision to use a spray sunscreen, on a child is the parent's decision. For the littlest kids, down to 6 months old, I'm usually recommending mineral blocker, physical blocker sunscreen creams and lotions. But for older kids, if the parent is comfortable, a spray sunscreen is great. You just need to make sure that you use it properly, holding it 1 inch from the skin, spraying for 1 to 2 seconds till the skin glistens, then rubbing it in. Spray sunscreens can be used on the face also, but you want to spray the sunscreen into the hand and then rub it onto the face rather than spraying directly to the face.
Emily on Instagram asks, how often should sunscreen be reapplied for an average day of just walking around outside or playing on the playground? I like this question because I think in a lot of parents' heads, we have this idea that sunscreen should be reapplied all the time if you're at the beach or soaking in the sun, but if you're just kind of outside, whatever. So, Dr. Zeichner, if you could shed some light on that, please.
The take-home rule with any sunscreen is that it loses its effectiveness after about 2 hours. So even if you're just at the playground, you really do need to be reapplying. Now, if you're out for 8 hours, that means that you're applying your sunscreen 4 times. If you're out for less than that, you may not need to reapply, but again, just use that 2-hour rule to decide what you need to do.
All right, and this question came in via Facebook from Liz, and this is about time of day. So if they are heading out to the park after 3 p.m., she asks, should I still be putting sunscreen on my toddler? She says, I always remember in the morning, but I'm a little more lax if we were inside all day and only head out after nap time.
While the sun has its peak effect between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m., you still can get a sunburn later in the day. So whether it's morning or afternoon, you do need to apply sunscreen. And remember, you can even get a burn on a cloudy day because UV rays penetrate through the clouds.
Thanks so much to the Zeichners for joining us. We're going to move on now and kind of expand this conversation to safety and health during the summer in general and how we set examples for our kids in all kinds of areas. So, yeah. Megan, I'm curious if my experience, a lot of this comes from living in Arizona for 10 years. So I want to start with kind of heat and sun and go in that direction. Have you guys had any experience with heat exhaustion or heat stroke, or how do you manage that? Because in your weather, it's like cold and then all of a sudden kids are running around.
So I don't, you know, to be very honest, I don't know if we've dealt with true heat exhaustion or heat stroke the way I've seen it described. I will say Owen overheats very easily this time of year. And I think it's because he's a kid that goes really hard. Mm-hmm. And he tends to like hit the summer running literally. Mm-hmm. And there'll always be some day in the early summer or late spring where it's not even that hot out, but he'll overdo it and end up like throwing up or getting a migraine, passing out. We've actually talked to a doctor about it who said, you know, some kids just do that. They have to learn how to regulate themselves. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like on him to start outgrowing that now. And, you know, for a long time we had to watch him. But it was kind of, it was really scary because it didn't happen very often, but it would happen at the weirdest, most random times. And often when he was with other families.
Yeah, that is scary.
And and they would call and be like, we don't know what to do. You know, Owen's laying and we're at the park and like Owen's laying under a tree crying, like, what do we do? And I'd have to say, okay, is there any way you can just get him in the car, get some water on him, pour water over his head, you know, and then he'll take a nap and then he's fine. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, have you had that experience?
Well, I haven't with my kids, partially because at least my older two are just not the world's most active kids.
Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of how my older two were too. It's like I was trying to force them to run.
Exactly. Yeah. For them, it's like me, let's get active. But Violet will be another story. But living in Arizona, I had a couple of times with close friends who had true like trips to the ER for either dehydration or heat exhaustion or heat stroke or both. And I'm not sure the technical terms, but I will mention a couple of the specific symptoms because these friends had it happen with pretty young toddlers and preschoolers. And obviously, you know, they don't have the verbal skills to explain what they're feeling, but I also think some of the symptoms look maybe different than what you'd expect.
Yes, totally.
So I know they can run a fever. Get real lethargic or whiny or like almost act like, you know, like when your kid acts like it's really nap time, but if it isn't, you know, like really lethargic or sleepy or kind of like just whiny and limp. But they may not be panting. They may not be super flushed in the face. And so all of those things to watch for, just like we know, if your kid's not acting like your kid.
Yes.
And Arizona is obviously hot as you know what all summer long. But it's very, very scary, especially when they're little. So I guess we can stay on top of that in a couple of ways. I know for my kids and myself, I'm always trying to drink water proactively at home and not wait till we're running around. Like they always say, I don't even know if this is true, but they always say, if you're thirsty, it's too late, right? Not too late. Not like too late.
It's just give up now. It's over.
You're doomed. But that you're already behind in your hydration. So one thing I do is we drink a lot of our water in the car because we are tooling around town quite a bit. And so that's a good reminder for me is to have a full bottle of water with me in the car. And we're all sitting down, like the kids are buckled in. So reminding them to drink water and showing them by drinking water myself while we're in the car, especially if we're on our way someplace where we're going to be more active. So I don't know. Do you have any other?
Well, I also wanted to mention that, like, as you said, you know, sometimes they can look flush and sometimes not. But like that cold, clammy look is another way that and I think that tends to be when it's more becoming a little more severe. So it's kind of it's so hard to say because all those things can be normal after a kid just ran outside and got hot. And they can also be a problem. Vomiting is a big one if it's getting to be more advanced. And again, it's like, is my kid sick? Did he eat too much for lunch or is the heat getting to him? I think the most important thing, especially when they're really little, is being precautionary about that. And I love that some of the advice that Dr. Zeichner and Corey gave about avoiding sun sunburn is mm-hmm. the same advice I would give for helping your kids avoid heat exhaustion, which yep. is stay out of the sun if you can. Make, you know, take trips to the shade. Keep an eye. If they're running, and it's hot, you know, you might not feel as hot laying there under a beach umbrella right. as your kid is like running out in on the hot sand or on the pavement or whatever. Right. So keep that in mind as well. Hats, I think, help just to keep your head cool. Sometimes I'll take ice cubes and put them under a kid's hat. Oh. So, you know, like, so it's like right on their head, yeah. ice down the backs of their necks. Like all yeah. those things have kind of helped us keep it under control with Owen and stave it off with the other kids.
Yes.
And Owen, I think part of it is just, he's just prone to it. And so we've kind of yes. just gotten used to this being part of normal for us, but
yeah.
definitely being more proactive about it has helped us make it happen a lot less. And, you know, I think the first time it happened when he was like 3 and again, like who knows, maybe it happened before that and we didn't recognize it
right.
because
right.
we didn't know what to look for. So, also, if you're going on a picnic or something and you're packing a cooler anyway, throw a couple ice packs in because mm-hmm. you can use those to cool down a hot kid.
Yeah.
Put them in their shirt, you know, douse them with water.
Yeah.
Water is great.
Yeah.
Both to drink it and to play in it.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah.
Well, all of this is making me think one thing that I'm trying hard with my kids at this age is in general is to listen to their bodies. And I mean, I talk about that with regard to everything. Hunger, you know, I have one child who really likes to snack. So we're talking a lot about like making, like snacking consciously and mm-hmm. listening to your body for hungry and full and listening to your body in terms of feeling hot and cold. And, you know, I think we want to empower our kids to, we don't want to be the one telling them it's time to put on a sweater because we're cold, right? Like we want them to learn to respect and listen to their own bodies. And I think a lot of this safety issue now with a 3-year-old who wants to be out in the sun, you're not going to give them the leeway to decide whether they think they're getting a sunscreen. So I'm not saying that it goes that far, but with older kids, I think a lot of this, like, especially if someone like Owen is prone, then you can give him the tools to know that this is his body. It's how it reacts and kind of
yeah.
coach them on paying attention to the way they feel. It sounds so simple, but there is a transition where, you know, moms and dads are primarily responsible for these health and safety issues. And then at a certain point, we want our older kids to be able to listen and take action for their own bodies.
Yeah. So one of the reasons I think that the Mimic Mommy thing kind of spoke to me so much is that period between when you're taking care of all of their needs and really watching them and making sure they're doing it, and then the sudden flip to them being more independent happens a lot more quickly mm-hmm. and suddenly and abruptly than you think. Like for us, with each kid, it was literally like, one summer, we would always be with them at every beach trip, every boat mm-hmm. trip, everything. And then the next summer, for all of my older kids, suddenly yeah. they're getting invited to stuff. And yes. and it's the kind of situation where you trust the other parent. And we can talk more about specifics. Like, I'm a real stickler for water safety.
Yeah.
We live near a huge body of water. Someone dies in that body of water near us, like, every summer. And sometimes multiple deaths. It's scary. You know, it's yeah. like – people think it's a lake, Lake Michigan, and they kind of underestimate it.
Yeah.
But it's more like a mini ocean. It's enormous, right. and there is a strong undertow, and there's a lot of kind of reckless behavior, more from older kids, I think,
yeah.
like, because little kids are usually with their parents. But so I'm a real stickler about things like, you know, I'll grill my kids about things like, do the parents have enough life jackets? Do you right. know you keep your life jacket on the whole time if you're on a yeah. boat? Doesn't matter where you are in the water. Doesn't matter if you're, you know, tubing or just sitting in the boat, yeah. like all that kind of thing. But I will admit that sometimes, you know, I lose sight of things like, are they drinking enough water or are mm-hmm. they putting on sunscreen? Because I'm not there to watch.
Right.
And there's that delicate balance between, you know, I want to make sure, like, I really want to make sure the other parent knows I'm on it about mm-hmm. the really important stuff, but I'm not going to give them like a printed out list
right.
every time my kid goes on their boat. So, or out in the water with them or whatever it is they're doing. So the thing, like things like drinking enough water, seeking shade and putting on sunscreen, more and more, the kids just have to learn mm-hmm. to do on their own, to take some responsibility for that because mm-hmm. it does. So anyway, I'm just tying that back to the whole idea that like them watching you yeah. do it makes it more likely that they'll do it for themselves.
Yeah, and it's like money in yeah. the bank if they've had a lifetime of that being normal.
Right.
I loved hearing Corey talk about it being part of the routine, like brushing your teeth. I mean, full disclosure, I do not think of sunscreen like that. And I've lived in Arizona and Southern California for 90% of my life.
Yeah.
But I mean, we apply sunscreen, but it was kind of a wake-up call for me to think of it as a very visible part of the daily routine for the kids. And I've made some changes in our behavior just, you know, since we've been doing this project. So it is, you know, none of us is perfect, but having our kids exposed to those habits, teeth brushing is an example, or I think in the interview you talked about seatbelts, like having our kids exposed to regular examples of those kinds of proactive behaviors is like money in the bank for when they are independent on their own later.
Yeah, you know, absolutely.
You can't just give them a pep talk before they go out on the boat by themselves the first time, I guess.
Yeah, no, exactly. But you know, there does, I mean, and for us too with seasons, sometimes like the summer really sneaks up on you. And we use sunscreen year round anyway, but we're not out in the sun all the time year round. So you wouldn't use the same heaviness of a product. You wouldn't use the same strength SPF, you know, in February in Michigan when you're going to be outside for 5 minutes as you would in the summer, obviously. Mm-hmm. And there have been times, like I was guilty of this just last week. Well, William went out on a boat with some friends who I know to be responsible people. I know they perform boat safety and water safety. And I felt very comfortable with him being out with these people. And I didn't remind him to put on sunscreen. I don't know why. He's 11. Mm-hmm. And I just, oh my gosh, he's 12. He's 12. And I just didn't think about it as he was running out the door. It's kind of a last minute thing. And I just kind of assumed the mom would be on it. And it's not her responsibility to make sure my kid has sunscreen on. And I can't make that assumption either. Right. So it's like everyone slips up. And there's been times I've had other kids under my care where I have not been as careful with things as I could have been, especially something that doesn't feel life threatening at the time.
Yeah.
You know,
because
you're so busy worried about like, do they eat? You know, are they drinking enough water? Yeah. Or like,
and you're watching several kids or many kids.
Yeah, exactly.
At once.
Are they not drowning? So stuff like that. Like, I feel like there's the aspect of them taking responsibility, but also me reminding. And I have been, I'm not going to say lax, but I've definitely slipped up before. And it's always it is a wake up call. It is something to remember because, you know, like we talked about before, just those one bad sunscreen can increase risk of skin cancer down the road.
Yeah, so. I actually didn't know that until we started working with Neutrogena. But just one or two bad sunburns as a kid makes an impact on your risk of melanoma later on. So
yeah. And we, you know, we had those. Oh, my
yeah,
gosh.
Yeah, we had them. Yeah.
But I'd like for my kids to never have them. And, you know, that hasn't been the case so far. But I think you learn as you go. And when you know better, you do better. So
yep, absolutely. So what are some other safety things that come up for you? I'm thinking of, we are outside in our street. You live on a busy street, so you don't go out front. We go out front on scooters and bikes all year round, but in the summer, the kids are off school. My older two are starting to get to an age where I'm comfortable with them being a little less supervised. I might be working in the garage and they're kind of where I can see them, et cetera. So I know like helmets are a no exceptions thing in our house. I mean, I hope everybody's having their kids wear helmets anyway, but it's easy. It's one of those things, just like sunscreen or anything else where you can say, well, I'm just in the driveway or I'm just sitting on this little, plasma car that's like low to the ground and I'm not going off the driveway. Well, pretty soon I get distracted or they get distracted and now they're on the sidewalk and whatever. So for us, like my kids are really, they don't leave the garage without a helmet on, no matter what kind of wheels are on their feet or they're riding on. But that does come, I mean, you've got falls and scrapes and bumps and bruises and road safety. And how has that evolved for you guys?
Well, I want to back that up really quick because we did talk a little bit about in the interview about like seatbelt culture and how I see that kind of relating like 30 years ago, I remember sitting, you know, everyone has that memory of sitting in the way back of the parent's station wagon without seatbelts and just kind of rolling around back there, sitting in the back seat without seatbelts, even sometimes
buckle,
sitting in the front seat, doubling up. Yeah, like cramming as many kids as possible into the back of the seat of a car. And that was just kind of done. And I think what maybe the seatbelt advocacy groups or whoever it was over the last 20 to 30 years did a really great job in just creating a generation of kids for whom seatbelts were just not a thing. Like for my kids, sitting in a child safety seat and or wearing a seatbelt, depending on what their age was or developmental age, it's just not – they don't think about it. In fact, if I try to pull away now and one of my kids is – because now they do it themselves and sometimes they're a little slow and I think they're belted up and they're not. They're freaking out like, stop, Bob! I'm not seatbelted yet. So they've really taken the responsibility. And I think the same thing is happening with sunscreen. And I think the same thing is happening with helmets. It's just a new helmet culture. It's a new sunscreen culture that we're creating. So it's going to be this generation of kids for whom it's just not a big deal. And I think that when you – let it go too much and like you were saying, if you don't make him do it in the driveway, then it's like, oh, well, now I got to go back and get it.
Right.
It becomes less of – it's just the same thing with sunscreen. If you you don't have it on when you go out in the yard, and then, oh, let's take a quick impromptu walk to the park.
Yep.
Now we got to go in the house and get it, and you got to put it on. It's a big hassle. So it's just better to just make it a just part of the routine it's and not
just,
a big deal.
Yep, and it's just not an option. It's every single time. The other thing I want to say about helmets, this is a little soapboxy, but I do see the kids with the helmets tilted way back on their head with their forehead exposed, and I want to pull it forward on their head. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like with those little frontal lobes right there.
Yeah.
That's a big thing for me.
Well, and I think that – those can be very tricky to get the chin strap just right.
Yeah,
and
it is. Yeah.
The fit just right with a wiggly toddler. And so do you have like any resources to point people toward? Because that's a tricky one.
Yeah, I know. I know they're starting to make helmets that are safe for both scooter and skateboard, because for whatever reason, like approvals, I think a bike helmet is different than a scooter skateboard helmet. And I know there are companies that are making them that cover both. And I love the kind that have a little twist in the back where you're tightening the internal structure of the helmet so it won't slip back like that.
Yeah.
So the chin strap can be comfortable. It doesn't have to be cinched really tight. We've worked with Micro Kickboard before for their scooters, but I actually have two of their helmets and I can link to those. You can get them on Amazon. They have cute patterns and stuff. And I just like the way they cover my kid's head and they sit right there where it's not in your eyes. Like they're not pushing it back because it's uncomfortable, but it sits very snugly and you can tighten the like internal part of the helmet. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. So you don't have, it's separately done from the chin strap.
And then we have another, Violet's helmet is Specialized. That's the brand. That's a bike brand. And they make them for very small heads. And we actually had her fitted at a bike store because we were there anyway. I'm not sure I would have been as that ambitious to go there, but it's a great helmet. It did make me feel really good that she was fitted by someone who knew what they were talking about. Actual bike stores, as opposed to like your Targets and your those kind of stores, have really knowledgeable people. We live in an area where biking is just a really huge pastime, mountain biking and stuff.
Yeah.
So if you go into a bike store, people are really helpful, and they'll have, so I guess those are I'll link to the Micro Kickboard helmets. And if you have a local bike store, I would say it just will make you feel better about fitting your kid's head. And our helmets have lasted 2 or 3 years. It's not like their head grows, but they'll fit for a couple of years, I think.
Yeah. This leads into a potential can of worms, but it's kind of like, how do you balance? And helmets are relatively easy once you get into into a routine. Sunscreen you have control over, but how is it something like trampolines? Let's just talk about that. And I'm totally using trampolines, by the way, as sort of a catch-all for all of those things that people disagree about that are still kind of a ubiquitous part of the childhood experience. Right. And balancing like your need for your kid to have some independence and fun and be able to do what their friends are doing but you to be comfortable with that. And so I'm going to use trampolines as an example because I know people fall very clearly, very strongly on one side or the other. And I've sort of taken a gray area middle ground where – when I see a trampoline, part of me is like, ugh, like cringing and like having a little mini panic attack because I've read so much about the terrible things that can happen on one. I have to though say, living in, and I don't live in an urban area as in like, I don't live in a big city, but I do live inside of a town where people's yards tend to be small.
Right.
And I have seen how having a trampoline gets kids outside and excited to be outside and using their bodies and jumping around even when it's not necessarily the best weather out. And that's super important to me.
Yes.
So I try to really balance those things out. And for me, that means like, I'll come up with arbitrary rules, like, you know, I'll kind of eyeball, like size up the kids that are there, and I'll say these two kids can only jump together, and those two kids can only jump together. So you don't have, you know, the 100-pound kid flipping the 20-pound kid out or smushing them. I always want there to be like a net, you know, like a protective thing around it. Shoes off. I mean, so we have rules about it, and I'm not going to kid myself that there's never going to be an incident and no one's ever going to break a bone or maybe have a concussion or something bad could happen, but that's childhood and that's life. And so for me, that's just kind of that's like a metaphor almost for that struggle, right? Like that struggle we all have, like between how to help our kids have fun and freedom and be active and learn how to manage risk without exposing them to unnecessary risks. I don't know. Yeah. What are your feelings?
No, I just pretty much agree. I think I would add that as my kids get to the stages where they're over at people's houses without me a little bit more, little by little, I guess I'm always trying to find out what the house rules are of the place they're going. And then what our family rules are. So yeah. My kids are kind of well-versed in like, well, our family rule is that we don't, this is not trampoline related, but just popped into my head. Like, we don't have screens on play dates. Like, there's no iPads. There's no, if you have a friend over or if you're at someone else's house, that's our family rule. It doesn't matter what the house rules are. If we're somewhere else, my family rule, you know, you can say, I'm sorry, I'm not allowed to use an iPad on a play date. That's my family rule. Then there are house rules. So I guess with trampolines, it would be the same thing. Like, I'd love to know what are the house rules about that trampoline? How many kids at a time? And then What are we going to agree is our family rule? Now, are the kids going to follow it? Can I guarantee that? Absolutely not. But going back to, I think, our free range parenting episodes and some other things, you mitigate that by, you know, staying pretty involved in who the people are that your kids are having play dates with. But no, I don't have any answers. It's really hard. It's just a balancing act.
And I feel like it's one of those things that's a lot easier to have a very hard and fast line about when your kids are really little. And then as they get older, you start to realize, and this is true for absolutely everything in parenting, you start to realize like how little control you really have. And at some point, how much control you really need to give up to let your kids become, you know, functional adults who can manage this stuff on their own. And so really all you can do is instill in them early, like, this is the safest way to do it. This is what I'm comfortable with. This is what our house or family rule, like you said, is. And then let them make some decisions on their own. And that's really can be very hard to do.
It is very hard. But I'd kind of rather my kids be exposed in small doses to opportunities to know what that feels like to say, this is my family rule, or my mom says this, or I'm going to stick to these rules, or I'm not, and face the consequences, then never encounter a trampoline in their life. Do you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, of course.
I feel like there are baby steps in learning to figure all that out that involve risk. And all of it involves risk. Wow.
Hey, and I'll also say, you know, it doesn't really matter how proactive we think we are, because we're coming to all of this parenting stuff with our own family culture, with our own experiences and backgrounds in mind. So as an example, when I was a kid, I remember being like 7 or 8, and I was a very cautious kid in a lot of ways. I did not like extreme physical play. I did not like risky situations at all. And I ended up hanging out with this really tough girl. And she came from a very tough family. They were very outdoorsy. And they had snowmobiles and skis and like all this stuff that I'd never really been exposed to. And I had some extremely terrifying experiences with some of her family's equipment. Let me just put it that way. One that sticks out in my head was going over to her house in, you know, one July and them shooting off fireworks in her backyard. Now, my mom... we did not come from a family with a fireworks culture. It would never have even occurred to my mom in a million years to be like, hey, when you go over to Marcy's house, if there's fireworks, come home. I just don't think it wasn't really a thing in our area. I just don't really think, I mean, and that's not, it's not a knock against my mom. She had no way of knowing. It's just like, you don't always know. Right. And I remember being terrified, and I hid like as far away from, from the ones that fly around, like those spinny ones.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't even know what they're called, but they're terrifying. I was like hiding from them the whole time. And I finally went home.
And that brings, actually, that is a great way to bring it back to our own behaviors. And one thing I wanted to touch on is just the way we talk about risk, or the way we talk about our healthy habits in a way that's not scary for our kids. I know both my older kids are really into science, and they are really curious, which is a fun stage. And they ask a lot of questions. But I am also like an anxious person by nature. And I'm trying to be really careful about not talking about why we do these things, why we don't want to get a sunburn because it might cause, you know, cancer later on, or why we wear helmets, we don't want to crack our head open. And I think there's ways you can talk about the science in a really cool way, and talk about healthy habits without making it scary for your kids. And I think, again, that's just a balance. But we try and have a really open dialogue about all these things, because I want my kids to know why we want to drink enough water. You know, what happens to our bodies when we're dehydrated. But I don't want to be that mom who's like, you better drink your water or you're going to pass out, you know, because you're fear-based. And so that's been kind of a tricky thing for me to navigate. But I think going back to Mimic Mommy, one of the best ways to solve that problem is by having the healthy habits myself and by talking about it in the first person. I'm going to drink a lot of water today because I know we're going to be outside later. Yeah. Or, you know, I'm going to put my sunscreen on right now so I don't forget later. Because then you don't have to have the sort of like fear-based, threatening
right.
thing. You're just showing by example. So, yeah. But that
common sense, I think, will carry forward. And that's kind of, I didn't actually really get back to that in my scary fireworks story. But I think the common sense does carry forward, even if you didn't ever think to specifically bring up this one situation you right. never imagined your kid would get into. I think when you hammer home, like, here's an example. When I was a little kid, when I was terrified of these fireworks, why didn't I just leave and go home? Maybe had I had more of that feeling like, if you feel bad about a situation, leave. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe that would have been the message that could have carried forward mm-hmm. for me and made a difference, even if, you know, fireworks never came into right. it or whatever right. it, whatever situation you feel bad about or right. you don't feel safe in. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, should we?
That was kind of a big. That was kind of a big leap.
I know. Well, I feel like we got real philosophical there. It's we hard. Did. It's hard.
It is.
Well, let's bring it back to sunscreen because yes. that is something that we can have really good habits about this summer. Yeah. I know. I am. Like I said, I've already kind of had some behavior changes, but maybe talk about our own routines a little bit with sunscreen. A couple episodes ago, we talked about our skincare and makeup routine and having sunscreen in our moisturizer or whatever.
Yes.
But I'm realizing that in the summer with how much we're outside, that's not enough for me. So I'm trying yeah. to be better about doing arms and chest and then face again if it's been a few hours before we go outside. And how about you? Are you like...
Yeah. So I will say as a fair person who burns easily, I've always been pretty good about my face, my chest. I don't want to have crepey, you know, old lady chest. I will say a lot of that is vanity. Shoulders and neck. I'm really good at like getting those usually well before I leave the house just to make sure in a summer day, especially a hot summer day. I will say, you know, living in Michigan, we don't have like sunny days all year round. And lots of times it's overcast. Lots of times it's kind of chilly out and it's easy to forget to use it on those days. But I just want to share really quick that even if you live in a place that's in a northern climate, the risk is still there. Neutrogena and Dr. Zeichner share with us these stats that melanoma rates in my state, Michigan, are on the rise and have increased 35% in the last 10 years.
So that blows me away because like we have gone back to talking about raising kids with sun yeah. safety awareness and I was blown away. So in California, it's increased 36% in the last 10 years, these melanoma rates. So
yeah.
That really surprised me that they are going in that direction. And quite frankly, was a good little scare tactic for me personally.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? Yeah. Absolutely. And I mean, who knows how much of that's just catching up, you know, because we
yes.
were a generation of kids who baked in the sun and maybe that some of that is now just catching up with us and being diagnosed later in life. I don't know that, but that did definitely give me a little bit of a wake up call because also those skin cancers do not always happen in the places that you would think. So like I was actually just reading about how to do a skin check, you know, for yourself to mm-hmm. make sure everything's as it should be. And they were talking about things like checking your feet, checking the bottoms of your feet,
wow.
your scalp, places that people don't always think about. So I think that that's another thing. Like I've been really good about hitting those hot spots on myself, but I was mm-hmm. not always as good about really covering all areas that are exposed to the sun at any time, like my feet. In fact, I went last year to Florida with some friends and we did a beach day and I was totally great about covering every single part of my body in sunscreen except for my toes for some reason. And I got a terrible toe burn, which may be the first time in my life I've gotten a toe burn. But anyway, it just kind of shows you that there are parts of your body that are exposed yeah. that maybe you're not thinking about. So that's definitely one, after our conversation, that's definitely one thing I'm going to be trying a little harder at. And
yeah.
and making sure not to give my kids that cursory slather, spray down in their burn spots and forgetting the rest of their spots too.
Well, that's what I think is fun about some of these products that we get to give away is number one, I loved how Corey talked about giving her kids a choice of what kind of sunscreen to use because
yeah.
it's so classic like preschool parenting, right? Like, would you like yep. the red cup or the blue cup?
Right.
Would you like the lotion or the stick? And if you guys head to themomhour.com, you'll see the pictures of this product package. But I just know that having different options for different parts of the body is really helpful. It definitely made me think about having a couple of different options in every beach bag so that I'm not like, oh, I don't really like this one for my face or my kid's going to complain if I, you know, use this on the, you know,
yeah.
so I love all these products, but in particular, I loved having the option. So, I know I this morning put on the, Pure and Free baby sunscreen on Violet. It's a
yes.
60 plus SPF and it's so soft. It's like baby lotion. And it's natural materials, and she did not complain, and it went all over her little face this morning. So
I want to point out that that is one of the ones that we've gotten a lot of questions from listeners who are concerned about chemical sunscreens for little kids. And I want to point out that that is one of the ones that is, as Dr. Zeichner recommended for, you know, little babies. It is a mineral sunscreen. So it is just titanium dioxide and zinc oxide are the active ingredients. So that's definitely, it's a blocker. So that's a great choice for little ones.
I had to tell Violet, I started to say it's the baby one, but you know,
no, you don't want to say that.
For babies when you have a 3-year-old. I said it's special for you.
Oh, that's nice. And last week, because we got a little package to try out as well, I went to my kid's field day. And this is a great example of why you have to be proactive about this stuff, because a few years ago, Owen got a terrible sunscreen on field day at school. I just kind of assumed that there'd be some other adult there taking care of the kids' sunscreen needs, and that turned out not to be true. So this year, I lather them up or slather them up before they went in the morning, and then went back at lunch and hit them up again. And I used the Cool Dry Sport sunscreen stick.
Yes.
And that was awesome, because they were like ready to run outside, and I just ran up to them and just, you know, like it's just like a deodorant stick.
Yeah.
So I just spread it all over them.
And then you can rub it in, and it feels really good. It doesn't leave like sticky. And I loved hearing about the 4 swipes or 4 passes
To make sure you get enough.
Zeichner's too.
So should we give some of this stuff away? Let's get into the details.
Let's give it away. I know, it's really exciting. So because the campaign is called Mimic Mommy, we're going to have all the details on this giveaway at themomhour.com. So don't stress about writing this down. If you're just listening, listen, and then you can follow up at themomhour.com for all the fine print. But what we would love for you to do is take a picture of how you and your kids practice sun safety, whatever that means to you, you know, under the shade of a tree or using sunscreen, and use the hashtag MimicMommy and tag Neutrogena and tag us too at the Mom Hour so we can see your pictures. And you can be entered for a chance to win one of these Mimic Mommy sunscreen kits, which is 4 products. 2 that are really great for moms and 2 that are geared toward kids. You can see all the products, and we'll link to them in our show notes at themomhour.com. But go ahead and share those photos. Use the hashtag MimicMommy. And we're going to keep this open until June 15th. So if you're listening to this way behind midsummer, it is sadly too late, but we're going to give everybody a little over a week to enter. And we can't wait to see your pictures. And definitely check out the show notes, because we've got some great pictures of our family and more about the products and more of the details on this little giveaway. So
And I want to point out we're giving away 10 of these.
Yes.
So there are plenty of choice. There's plenty of opportunity for you to win. And not only are the products great for kids, but did we mention that they're great for moms? So there's 2 in particular that are great for moms, but I want to mention really quick the Ultra Sheer Dry Touch sunscreen, because it actually really does, you know, sometimes that feeling you get with where it's like greasy on your face and then makeup doesn't work with it and you can't get the powder. This stuff does not. It goes on very nice and light and feels dry to the touch. So that's one of my favorites that I already had in my beach bag before.
I know, I did too. I already had that one too. I felt like I won. Like,
Absolutely. So it's episode 54. If you just go to themomhour.com and look it up, all the details will be there.
Yep. And we'll have a few more fine print notes there, but I think that's all you need to know. So go ahead and start sharing your pictures, and we can't wait to see you and your kids being sun safe.
And follow our social accounts too, because we've got some great examples. If you need some inspiration, we'll have some fun examples of ways we, you know, help our kids mimic mommy. Yeah.
But so at least in this case, it'll be a good mimic mommy. Sometimes our kids mimic us in ways that are less flattering.
We're not going to talk about those today.
This is about setting good examples.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this is really fun. I really feel like safety doesn't have to be a negative this summer. Like it doesn't have to be something that we're griping at our kids about. And it doesn't have to kill the joy of summer. I think one thing you and I always come back to is that we're all doing our best and everybody can relax a little. And I don't think that's mutually exclusive with staying safe. So this was a
fun discussion. Keep it fun, make it a game, and just, you know, give yourself a break. Do your best.
Do your best.
Yep, do your best. Okay.
I'll be okay.
All right. We'll see you guys next time.
Thanks, everybody.